this lovely, well, it was a lovely sunny Sunday when I woke up at 7 o'clock. Hopefully it'll stay dry for the rest of today. A welcome to everybody who's here this morning, our members of the church family, our friends, and people who are visiting. It's lovely to see everybody here today. And especially a very warm welcome to Sue Edwards, who is going to lead our worship today. The name gives you a clue, Sue Edwards. She's actually Graham's mum, and so she's helping out, and we're delighted. She's been called Graham's mum, but she is Sue in her own right. She's helping out, and we're delighted to welcome her to our church this morning. And thank you very much indeed for coming to lead our service and the communion service.
Okay.
Lunch on Wednesday. It's the fourth Wednesday of the month. So we will be meeting for a service at 12 o'clock, but it's a bring your own lunch this month. Tea and coffee will be provided, but you can bring your caviar, your fish and chips, or whatever you fancy, and we'll have it after the service at 12:45. Also, there's a plea gone out from the banner people. We need more poppies, please. They're going the wonderful banner for Remembrance Sunday in November. It will be spectacular. I've heard about it and I can't wait to see it. But we do need 2,000 poppies. Well, we're on our way to 2,000 poppies, but we're just a couple of hundred short. And the more poppies we have, the more impressive the banner will be. So if you can, I can knit poppies. If I can knit a poppy, you can knit a poppy. Six rows of knitting, gather it together into a circle. It's a poppy. It's like that. But at a distance, it will be magnificent. So if you really can help, come and have a word with myself or Hilary and Linda. We'll give you a quick crash course in making a poppy, and you really will help the banner and its impressive effect when the 11th of November comes along. And finally, Rich has asked me to announce that this year's fundraiser for the Eco Church, he has told us about this before, there's going to be an Epiphany concert at the end of September, on Sunday, the 29th of September, and there'll be two performances, one at 4:30 and another one at 7:30. And the concert will last about 60 minutes. Entrance is by donation, and you can invite anybody along you would like to bring with you. It will be two lovely sessions of beautiful music to help raise funds for our Eco Church and to celebrate together. And after all those notices, I invite Sue to come forward and lead us in worship this morning. Thank you.
Well, good morning, and it's really good to be here with you and to worship with you. I am Graham's mum, as you've already heard. I'm a supernumerary minister in the North Liverpool and South Sefton circuit. Previous to that, I was a superintendent minister in Cumbria for 11 years and moved back to Liverpool, to my hometown. So I've just come back from Cumbria, having a week with a friend, so I'm all restored and rejuvenated after being up there in a windy, wet climate. But we are here to worship God. So our call to worship this morning: in the beginning, before time, before people, before the world began, God was. Here and now, among us, beside us, clearer than air, closer than breathing, God is. In all that is to come, when we have turned to dust and human knowledge has been completed, God will be. So let us worship God and praise God as we sing our first hymn, Lord, for the Years.
God has kept and guided us.
So let us pray. Lord, loving God, we have come today from different homes and places. We've been on different journeys, but we have all chosen the path to be here today to worship you. So let us sing with one voice and pray with one heart. Let us listen to the scriptures with one longing to know Christ more, to know him deeply, and to be his disciples. Lord, we come needing your living water to sustain us. We come needing your guidance, seeking the right path. We come with open hearts and open minds. So we pray, Lord, that you will fill us with your love and your truth. And yet, Holy Father, we also come because we need to ask for your forgiveness. Forgive us, Lord, when we have let others down, because we haven't thought our actions or our words through. When we've said yes to things because we want to impress, or said no because we want to be difficult. So we pray, Lord, that you will guide our thinking and bless us with a balance of courage and caution, of discipline and daring, that we may be as impulsive as we are insightful, so that we can be a blessing to others. Thank you, Almighty God, that no matter what path we take, no matter how many wrong turns we make, you are our God. So bless each one of us through our journey of life and help us to be companions to those who feel that they travel alone. For we ask these prayers in and through the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Saviour. Amen. And recognizing that we are in the presence of God, we stand to sing our next hymn, Be Still, for the Presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. To cleanse and heal, to live. still, for the power of the Lord is shining in this place. Please be seated. Now we hear our scripture readings for this morning.
A reading from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 to 7, 18 to 19. But now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, Jacob, He who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honoured in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Forget the former things, do not dwell in the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland.
Our New Testament reading is from Mark chapter 6 and verses 6 to 11. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. Calling the 12 to him, he sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if in any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them. Amen.
Thank you very much for those readings. So let us pray. Almighty God, we come before you now and we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will open our hearts and our minds to hear your word. And by that same Spirit, you will transform the spoken word into your living word. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you're probably wondering what all this mess is on the floor here that I've brought with me today. But it will become clear. I've not just emptied my bag and thought I'll leave it there while I'm actually doing this service today. But they will be explained as we're going along. Because today I want us to think about journeys. Journeys as a church, your journey, my journey, journeys as individuals. And of course, that involves us looking at our journey of discipleship. And also journeys as a circuit for you in particular, when you're embarking on a new journey of discipleship, of things probably being done in a new way. So as we think about those journeys this morning, and as we think about our own spiritual journeys, our walk with God, both as an individual and as a worshipping community, I want us all to imagine that we are on a walk, hence all these things here. But on our walk, we have none of these things that we see before us. We don't have any protective clothing. We're just walking. We don't have any protective shoes. We're just walking. We don't have a bag. And we don't have a map, which are quite old-fashioned these days, aren't they, maps? It's usually on your phone. But you see, I've brought these because if you think about that reading that we heard, Jesus said, don't take any of those with you. They were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey ahead apart from a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not a shirt. So the journey we're going on today, we're going to feel every step of the way, very much like the disciples did. So when we are on a journey then, what things do we need to take into account? Well, first of all, I wonder who's holding your map. Is it you? Is it someone else? Perhaps if we travel with another person, we say to them, you carry the map, you get your phone out, you show where we're going, you give the directions, and we merely follow their lead, walking the walk, but not too sure of the destination that we're going to arrive at, or the route, or the purpose of what we're doing. We're just walking. You see, maybe some of us here aren't too good at map reading. Who's a brilliant map reader? Nobody's putting their hand up that I could see. We rely on our sat-navs, don't we? We rely on other people guiding us. Some of us struggle with a sense of direction, and I'm afraid that's me. I have to have guidance. Graham says to me, you're only going round the corner. It's 10 miles. Why do you need your sat-nav? But I need my sat-nav in case I get lost, if I've not been there before. Some people travel much better under someone else's instruction. But there comes a time when we have to take hold of the map ourselves. We must understand the route that we're on. And we must experience the elation of real movement when we're travelling and progression that's been initiated by ourselves and not someone else. You see, when we do that, the walk for us then becomes real. It becomes our walk, our journey, and not just something we're being pulled into by someone else. So we need a map or some sort of guidance. Secondly, do we take a bag with us? Jesus says not to. He advised against it in the gospel. But we do like our bits and pieces with us, don't we? My daughter Helen is not into bags at all. When she was younger, she would never have a handbag. She said, it's too much like hard work having to stuff things in it, just in case you might need them. Too much like hard work having to remember it all the time and not leave it behind. And it's loads of hassle when you're walking along if you've got to carry something else with you. But she does fill her pockets with all sorts. And sometimes the things that she's carrying end up invading someone else's bag, usually mine if I'm with her. weighing me down or someone else down. How often do we do that? Decide that we need certain things to accompany us on our journey, along the way that we're going, things we can't be without. And then we try and pass them over to someone else when the going gets tough. You see, it's good to be helping each other, isn't it? To share burdens and spread the load out between each one of us. But how often are we passing our burdens onto the wrong person, the one who has enough of their own to carry, rather than the one, Jesus, who willingly holds out his arms to take our burdens from us? I wonder what the weather will be like on our journey. If it's anything like the recent weather, we're going to get wet. So we're going to need a good, strong, waterproof coat. It's not pleasant walking in the wet. We like it, don't we, when it's pleasantly warm. It's not too hot. It's not too cold. Travelling is made much easier and progression is fast. But when the conditions change, then so does our journey. The sun can become overbearing. Energy is sapped. We become thirsty and tired, and the walk slows to a plodding along rather than enjoyable pace. And the destination seems way off. But occasionally the sun does come out. But not for long, maybe. And it disappears and winter comes and we feel cold and tired and the walk seems almost foolish compared to the desire to stay at home and dry and warm away from the elements. So we sit at the side. But our journey is continuing and we watch others pass us by. Walk watching as they struggle, but then overcoming the obstacle that was in front of them. And move on. And we wonder if we'll ever feel capable of rejoining the road. Until we realise that the only time is now. The right time will never mysteriously appear until we focus our energies and we struggle to our feet then. Maybe accepting the help of a fellow traveller. And we resume our journey. Feeling warmer because we're moving again. Maybe we've got a few aching joints. But these soon pass. And maybe we can begin to enjoy the journey that we're on. You see, there are others on the walk when we're on our journey too. Other people to help when the obstacles emerge. I can remember a while ago being on a beach, you know, one of those pebbly beaches that you don't like walking on. And I was sat there quite comfortably watching a group of young people come walking down the beach without any shoes on, squealing as they put their feet on the stones. And I laughed and then said to somebody else, "Go and get my shoes for me. I don't want to walk on those pebbles. I don't want them sticking in my feet. I wanted them to help me avoid the stones." You see, sometimes we do need help to get back on the smooth sand, the smooth ground to help us to cope with the pain, to help bind up the wounds and cuts and bruises that we may have picked up on our journey as we've gone along. And also someone there to help us and tell us when we need to rest. You see, there are times when our journey is a real pleasure. We're at the top of a mountain looking down the surrounding countryside, seeing what lies ahead of us, looking at where we've come from and perhaps where we're going to, and have a chance to take stock. To rejoice in how far we have come on our journey. the obstacles we've already conquered. And we take new energy then with us, and we get inspiration for continuing on the journey, even if we're thinking this is never going to work. But other times we're at the bottom of a mountain and we're looking up and wondering, how on earth are we going to get to the top of that mountain? How will we reach the top? Whether we'll make it or we'll get halfway and decide we've had enough and turn round. And whether the huge amounts of energy that we have to need to give out will be worth it in the end. Sometimes on the journey, we're almost running. We move so quickly and easy, and obstacles are almost non-existent, and the ground is smooth and flat. And other times, there are parts of the journey that aren't so easy to tread. Sometimes we drift into them by accident. Our attention is slightly diverted and we wander from the confines of the path and get tied up in the undergrowth. So we need then to remove the thorns that we've picked up, dress the wounds and make our way back to the path. Because sometimes the road that we're on, the journey that we're on, is not a comfortable place to be. It will be easier to stop, to stay where we are rather than to continue. But you see, that's where the journey ceases if we make that choice. And I'm sure we've all had moments like that, haven't we? In our personal lives as well as in our churches. But the other option is to walk over the stones, perhaps moving a few out of the way. And it might take time and it might take effort and even cause us a bit of pain and frustration. But without those things happening, there's no way the journey can continue. And it's when the journey stops that the excitement and the enthusiasm and the energy is gone and the experience and the view and our lives become stale, boring and empty. And it's at these times that perhaps we wonder why we're on the journey at all. What are we doing here? The route seems unclear, the direction we're going is blurred, and the purpose is irrelevant in our eyes. And our foundation of belief in the journey and our destination with the instigator, Jesus, is fading away. But we need him to pull us through, to get us back on the journey he wants us to be on. And the depth of our faith and our belief in these moments is tested. To say, I believe, at the hardest times is much more difficult than in the easier moments. To say, I believe and I choose to continue to travel on the journey you've put me on, despite the unanswered questions, shows far greater depth than throwing away cheap questions and answers that merely serve to blur and mask the question at all. You see, somehow in a strange and supernatural way, the one who called us to journey from the beginning will bring us through, if we allow it. Our God brings us water on the journey. Cold, invigorating streams of running water and times of refreshing, refilling, and rejuvenating. If we're open to him. But how often do we spend time looking backwards on our journey? How often do we dwell on what's gone before rather than looking out towards a new terrain? It's far more comfortable to keep our focus on what we know, the incidents that have helped or hindered us on the way. But then, you see, we start walking backwards. The interesting thing is that when we're not looking forward, not giving the projection of the journey for our full attention, not watching where we're going, we're far more likely to stumble and fall on obstacles that we just didn't see coming in front of us. We're looking in the opposite direction instead of at the face of Jesus. The one who walks with us. And perhaps we're just not prepared for what's ahead. And then we wonder why once again our faces are in the mud and our feet are on the stones. You see, the journey through life includes ups and downs. We can't get away from it. It includes upset and celebration. It includes moments of nearness and those of distance, times of holiness and mistakes. Some people are very good at walking. I'm reasonable. Having lived in Cumbria, you have to walk. But when I've been away this last week, I was out walking with my friend, and I was almost running to keep up with her because she just strides out with her walking poles and off she goes. You see, other people like me tend to get blisters. And people sometimes live on the familiar knife edge of longing for the armchair, not what's round the corner. And some, of course, can no longer walk like they used to do. But it's our focus on Jesus which holds us fast. And as soon as we lose that focus, then we begin to wander from the road, to forget the route and lose the map. Our discipleship is about getting out of the comfort of our armchairs and going on a journey with the purpose of growing more like the one who calls us, sometimes smooth and safe, sometimes blatantly not, sometimes being content and happy, sometimes struggling and fighting and not understanding where we're going. A journey that includes the loving care of Jesus to guide us, to inspire us every step of the way. And the experience of the one who designed the road that we're on and the journey and who holds all the maps and the plans. In the passage from Isaiah that we heard how God has called us, has chosen us, each one of us, that no one is here by chance. And he will be with us on our journey, bringing protection and love to each one of us. The words say, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. Do not be afraid, for I am with you." So my hope for you this morning, and for me, because we're all on a journey, we don't know where it's leading us, is that we will all think about the journey we're on, where we are on the path, about the ground we've already covered, and about where we're headed. Next week, of course, we see the beginning of the new connectional year, and each one of us will set out on a new journey together in our churches. Each person here this morning will be at a different place on their journey. But you know, one of the amazing things about God is that he will be with each one of us, each one of you, wherever you are. Whenever you stand or sit or walk, he is with you, beckoning you and leading you forward. So don't crave for what was, but put your hand in God's hand and let him take you where he wants you to be as this worshiping community. Let him lead you where he wants you to go, traveling on your journey with him. And as you think and pray, know that God is with you, even in the difficult times. And God's blessing is over your lives and over this church, as together you journey into the future and all that it will bring to you. Amen. So we stand to sing "The Lord's My Shepherd," which talks about putting our trust in God. Please sit down. So we come before God with our prayers of intercession. So let us pray. Loving God, there is no choice we have made, no path we have taken, no shape we have become that is beyond your love. There is no part of us that you don't know. So now bless this church as we entrust to you all that has been and all that is to come in this place. And guide and inspire this congregation to be more than they thought they could ever be. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all those with difficult decisions and choices to make on the path that they find themselves on for whatever reason. We pray for politicians and scientists and religious leaders whose choices affect the lives of thousands of people. Lord, we pray that you will bless them all with integrity and grace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all whose future is uncertain and frightening, those living in places of conflict and areas of devastation, for for Ukraine and Russia and Gaza and Palestine and other places of conflict which no longer meet news headlines. We pray for those areas of drought and famine, those places where terrorist action has affected the lives of so many people. Lord, bless them all with peace of mind. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for your world, and we ask that you help each one of us to treat it with respect, to remember that you gave it to us to live in and care for. And yet, Lord, we seem to ignore what we need to do. So guide all our thinking and all our doing as we begin to care for your planet. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who feel trapped and want to begin again, who feel they have no idea where their journey is leading them. So bless them, Lord, with reassurance and strength that you are with them through all that they have to face now or in the future. We pray for all who are ill, who need to know you're with them, and especially those people in hospital or ill at home. For all those known to this church and this community. And also those who are only known to us as individuals. So in the silence, we lift the names of those people before you now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, we pray for ourselves as we go about our daily lives and for those we love and care about. Lord, bless us with honesty and compassion and perseverance, and give us a vision of the way ahead you have for each one of us. And again, we pray for this church, for its past, present, and future ministry, and ask that you will guide all those who worship in this place, that they may continue to make it a place of blessing and welcome to all who come through the door. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We say together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And now a short prayer to dedicate the offering. Lord, we lift before you all the gifts of money that are given to you for use in this church, that are given in any way, through physically or electronically. We ask that you will bless these donations and that they may be used to fulfill your purpose in this place and extend your kingdom in this area. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we move into the time of sharing communion together, we stand to sing our communion hymn number 586, Here is Bread, Here is Wine.
Mm-hmm.
Please sit down. This morning we're using a service of communion called Jesus Was Always the Guest. Jesus was always the guest. In the arms of Joseph and Mary, cradled in a manger, he was the smallest guest. In the temple, embraced by Simeon and Anna, he was the long-awaited guest. In the homes of Peter and Jairus, Martha and Mary, Joanna and Susanna, he was always the guest. At the meal tables of the wealthy, where he pled the case of the poor, he was always the guest. Upsetting polite company, befriending isolated people, welcoming the stranger, he was always the guest. But here at this table, he is the host. Those who wish to serve him must first be served by him. Those who want to follow him must first be fed by him. Those who would wash his feet must first let him make them clean. For this is the table where God intends us to be nourished. This is the time when Christ can make us new. So come, you who hunger and thirst for a deeper faith, for a better life, for a fairer world. Jesus Christ, who has sat at our tables, now invites us to be guests at his. So now let us hear the story of how this sacrament began. On the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he sat at supper with his disciples, and while they were eating, he took a piece of bread and said a blessing. He broke it and gave it to them with the words, "This is my body, it is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Later, he took a cup of wine, saying, "This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Drink from it, all of you, in remembrance of me." So now, following Jesus' example and command, we take bread and wine, the ordinary things of the world, which Christ will make special. And as he said a prayer before sharing, let us do the same. Holy God, for the universe you have made in all its variety and mystery, we praise and thank you. For the gift of your beloved Son, vulnerable healer, we praise and thank you. For the work of salvation, love crucified and victorious, we praise and thank you. With people everywhere, past, present, and yet to come, we praise and thank you. that you have brought us together around this table, no longer strangers but pilgrims, companions on a journey. We praise and thank you. Send your spirit of faith, hope, and love on us now and on this bread and wine, that sharing them we may become your living body, active in your world. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. This is the table of the Lord. It is ready for those who love him and who want to love him more. So come, you who have much faith and you who have little, you who have been here often and you who have not been for a long time, you who have tried to follow and you who have failed. Come, not because it is I who invite you. It is our Lord. It is his will that those who want him should meet him here. So draw near with faith. Body of Christ broken for you. The body of Christ broken for you. The body of Christ broken for you. Body of Christ broken for you. The 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 body of Christ broken for you. Body of Christ broken for you. The body of Christ broken for you. The body of Christ broken for you. The body of Christ broken for you. 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 The 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 body of Christ broken for you. Body of Christ broken for you. Body of Christ broken for you. The body of Christ broken for you. 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 The body of Christ broken for you. Body of Christ broken for you. Broken for you. The body of Christ 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 broken for me. Amen. The blood of Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ shed. Blood of Christ shed for you. Blood of Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ shed for me. Amen. I will say the prayer. Go back to your seats, please. Thank you.
So we say together, Living God, we thank you that in this meal you make yourself known to us. From now on, whenever we walk in strange places, We shall find your footsteps there. Whenever we meet with unknown faces, we shall see your image there. Whenever we fear the future, we shall hear your fear not there. Whenever we stumble into unexpected joy, we shall feel your heartbeat there. And so to you we ascribe glory for ever and ever. Amen. So we say our closing responses before we sing our closing hymn. So we go now, energized by God's Spirit, to live out our lives in love and peace. We laugh, we weep, we wait in hope. We love, we struggle, we fail and start again. And always we stand on holy ground, for nothing separates us from the love of God. So go in his name with words of love to feed the hungry and help the lost. Bring comfort and care to friend and stranger. And may the whisper of our Creator God, the healing presence of Jesus Christ, and the enfolding of the Holy Spirit bless and keep you this day and always. Amen. So we stand to sing our closing hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Blessings, O mine. From where we are to where you need us, Jesus, lead us on. From the familiarity of what we know to the wonder of what you will reveal, Jesus, lead us on. To transform the fabric of this world until it resembles the shape of your kingdom, Jesus, lead us on. Because good things have been prepared for those who love God. Jesus, lead us on. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you now and forever. Amen.